Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another wonderful podcast of IT, a Jamaican Weekly Perspective. Now, I know you haven't heard from me in a while, almost 3 weeks to be exact, but let me just give you a little background on what happened to me. So I caught COVID-19, and it was really a rough 2 weeks for me. I can tell anybody that I have survived by the grace of the Almighty, and you know, wonderful advice I got at the start when I just got first found out that I was tested positive. So basically, symptoms came at the fast and furious one Monday night. I had some issues going in, you know, during the Monday morning, you know, like I had some like cold sweat, and where I live is 20 degrees in the morning. So cold sweat, you kind of, why you're sweating, sort of a thing. During the day, I had a dry cough now and then. It wasn't a constant thing. But lunch, couldn't eat it off. So, and I couldn't, you know, it was like weird sort of a thing, you know, like I had no appetite. And basically, you know, on my way home, I kind of felt tired, but, you know, worked, you know, and I just passed it off as just being the fact, say, you know, fact that I was, had been at work 8 hours. So, got home, and in the night, there was just a rash of, you know, symptoms running on, no sense of smell gone, sense of taste gone. I had a high fever, muscular aches and pains. Which other one else? My blood pressure went up, and I became severely dehydrated. I was coughing more often now, and a chest congestion scenario where it was making it, breathing was a little difficult. And with all of that, I managed to have some medication here, medication for my chest, because I grew up asthmatic. So I took that, and then that got me through the night, as well as my blood pressure medication. And went in the following day, got tested, found out I was positive, refilled my blood pressure medication and came back home. Went to the doctor the following day, because I had to tell my doctor now that was positive. But before I did that, I consulted two friends, one who had had it and one whose relative was still suffering from it, and is still suffering as a result today, to this date. And they both told me that I should ask for certain medications, which when I went to the doctor the following day, I did. But, you know, those medications are a little more difficult to come by, but I still got a course of medication that I had started using from then, and I'm still using today. But give thanks, I am a lot better now than I was 2 weeks ago. I guess you can hear my voice, it's kind of coming and going, like it, you know, it not fully grounded, like a speaker box. But it's just one of those things. I did experience a diarrhea and all of that sort of thing as well, just not at day one. I think it came about day six. But I'm here living proof to tell anybody, COVID-19 is no joke. Yeah, so I plead with all my listeners, wherever you are, wherever around the world you are, this thing real, and follow the advice that they have been giving you. Mask up, you know, sanitize on your, as often as you can, wash your hands as often as you can, social distance, do all the things that you have been told to do, because believe you me, when you get it, it's a different story. Different story, and it really treats you rough. And it seemed to treat everybody different depending on their metabolic makeup or whatever underlying symptoms or sicknesses that they have. So it's not something that you should, you know, play around with. It's not something that you should actually think, well, is some, you know, and dismiss it with disdain. No, make sure that you follow the protocols. All right, so enough about my 2 week drama. The last time we were here, we spoke about, you know, the seven enterprise cloud strategy trends for 2021, and this week we are going to speak about what we consider to be the future of work. I just mentioned the COVID-19 thing, and that pandemic has been sweeping the world. So basically, people are working from home more. So there has been a disruption in how work usually functioned pre-COVID-19 pandemic. And this podcast, we are going to look at the future, what can be the likely future of work. So we're going to have our introduction, and then we're going to speak about the seven questions that relate to the future of work. Now, Northmark CIO Dan Rich looks back on the tumult of 2020 with a healthy perspective on his IT team's accomplishments during COVID-19's workplace upheaval, and with reverence for what lies ahead. On the bright side, he said, it gave me more perspective on what we must do to meet our customer demands, and it allowed us to accelerate our investments in technology. But the year ahead poses more questions than answers. This has set us up for what he believes will be an even more challenging 2021, as the bar has been raised, the desire for data, access and improved experiences has surpassed what we have seen over the past 5 years. And just from a Jamaican perspective, more persons have signed up for internet banking and acquired more debit cards in this 1 year of the pandemic than ever before. So when he says the desire for data access, basically, you know, we can look at it from that angle. Internet banking and persons getting their debit cards, because a lot of persons are doing all this from home. Now, the pandemic fight isn't over yet, but multiple vaccines are giving hope for a speedy economic recovery. Still, IT leaders can expect accelerated pace of change to continue much past the end of the pandemic. Right? So that's really how persons are looking at it. You know, we may have jumped over many hurdles in 2020, like endpoint security for devices, electronic product generation, virtual client meetings with pets and kids, digital user experiences, and perhaps even team connections to create a new normal. But 2021 creates different challenges in the next norm ahead of us, as the fog begins to lift and the path forward becomes clearer. So IT leaders weighed in on seven key questions facing the future of work and how they plan to answer the challenge. All right. So the first question is, how do we support a hybrid workforce going forward? As some workers are starting to return to offices full time, others continue to work remotely, and still others switch between locations. Some companies are using technology, data, and in-house surveys of employee sentiment to help them make reopening decisions. Payroll processor ADP relies on a dashboard that offers a regularly updated view of who's willing to come into the office and who would prefer to stay home. IBM developed tools that incorporate local health data and other signals to help bosses decide whether they can safely reopen a site. The decisions on which employees will come back to the office and how long will have long-lasting repercussions for IT and its investments. That's really the explaining, how you'd support one hybrid workforce going forward, and why you do it. Right? And we continue. At Conn's Home Plus, the hybrid work environment will continue for the foreseeable future, says the CIO. But he worries about the long-term effect that remote work will have on some employees. In the next year or two, you're going to see people who work really well remotely and others who still struggle and continue to have issues. A lot of people in our workforce today grew up with in-person collaboration. Right, that means everybody was together in the same place. Now, his job, he says, is to figure out how to make sure that both of those work situations are positive to the employees but also agreeable to the company. I need to provide the technology and help provide process change to make that happen. If remote work becomes more permanent, the next step in the digital journey will be finding creative ways to foster human connections instead of digital interaction. I believe, according to Meta, that people are now craving human connections as they have not seen people in social or work environments for close to a year, which is true. He also doesn't believe workers want to return to long commutes and the pressure of balancing work and home life. This means IT needs to be ready for flexible workspaces. It will be a cultural shift, and we can't stick out our heads in the sand and hope it goes away. Right, so basically, the hybrid workforce, people working from home, people working from office, for the foreseeable future, it will continue. And basically, as I have said, some people like to work from home because they don't like the long commute to work. I am one of them because I have a, based on where I live and where I work, I have a 2 hour commute to work and a 2 hour commute back home. If I could work from home, I'd be quite happy. Yeah. And also, but some people like the in-person collaboration where persons are around them and they're at work. And what I find though in a Jamaican perspective is that sometimes when you're home, the persons who are working from home, the first balance they need to find is the discipline to say, okay, for these 8 hours, I am at work, even though physically I'm at home. So I don't sit down and watch TV or anything along that line. I am disciplined to say I'm in a scenario where I are in a room where this is my work space for the 8 hours. That I think has been a challenge for some of the persons working from home. But as was said, it's a situation that will continue for the foreseeable future. So just let's see how it happens through the rest of 2021. Now, next question is, can security keep pace with growing threats? Nationwide work from home mandates led to increases in phishing attacks on remote users and threats to corporate networks and data, which shuffled security priorities. In IDG's annual security priorities report, almost half of security leaders, 49%, say their top security priority today is improving the protection of confidential and sensitive data, followed by improving or increasing security awareness training for end users, and that's about 45%. About a third of the survey respondents say they have prioritized upgrading IT and security data security to boost corporate resiliency, about that 34%, and enhancing identity and access controls, 33%. The cybersecurity landscape is changing rapidly, and securing the workforce that has left the perimeters of a secure campus is going to be challenging. We need to move to biometric-based security models that aren't prone to collapse within remote workforces. While layered defenses are still going to be critical, we need to add biometrics as an external layer of defense for our employees and our customers. So, the argument speaks to security, this question, and one of the answers is biometric security models. Well, from a Jamaican perspective, I am not certain we are there yet. Even though there are one and two schools. I remember there's a school that introduced biometric security as a way to track the teachers coming in. Unfortunately, we have unscrupulous persons among us, so people would come in. The system that the school had before was signing in a book, and persons would sign in for other teachers to say, well, that teacher was here from 8 o'clock when the teacher wasn't. So the school put in a biometric system. Of course, people started crying out because all of a sudden they couldn't beat the system anymore. People couldn't sign in for other persons. And it created some sort of issues for the school with the Ministry of Education, which I believe have been ironed out by now. However, the situation is that you can't, biometric security is the way of the future. So, and I see where, with respect to that answer or that way of doing things, that's one way that the growing threats can be neutralized. And probably the school putting in that biometric security from early, probably they'll be ahead of the game when, the other schools start to catch on. All right, so that was our second question. The third question is, how should hiring strategies and skills mixes change? Now, companies have reskilled, upskilled, and added skills to their IT teams to adapt to rapidly changing needs. Now, Northmark brought in new Scrum leaders and product owners to manage its rapidly changing technology. We hired three new product leaders, two from the outside and transferred one over from the business. And that's what the CIO said. We hired a change management lead who helped us with communication and training, and we introduced the concept of business champions. Key non-technical resources who help us build requirements, give us the business perspective, and advocate the message of change into the teams. IT jobs market still shrank by 55,900 jobs for the year, but signs of recovery emerged in December with 20,600 new IT jobs added. And this was analysis according to Janco Associates. The comeback continues. So, what I have always said is this, with the constant change in technology, some job functionalities may cease to exist, but new ones will emerge. For instance, from a Jamaican perspective, 10 years ago, WhatsApp, Snapchat, those things never existed, right? You never had the need for a social media manager. But now, most companies have either a social media manager or a social media coordinator. I see even one of the Hasbro sub-companies is hiring a TikTok person to manage a TikTok account. And that person is going to be paid handsomely, about $10,000 a month. Now, so you're finding that as technology changes, some job functions, as I said, may drop off and new ones will be added. So in terms of the hiring strategies and skill mixes, that will always be changing. It's IT, and IT is never static. All right, so next question. Oh, it continues. I didn't see this. In a global survey of some 3,000 corporate tech leaders by Robert Half International, more than 90% said they plan to either fill IT vacancies or create new IT positions in the year ahead, which comes back to the same thing I said before. The most in-demand skills include cybersecurity, cloud, and data or database management expertise. As companies now have reskilled or shifted, they are hiring people back, but not necessarily the same people, says Jim Johnson, who is Senior Vice President at staffing firm Robert Half Technology. They are hiring people that are a fit for the new normal, with different skills. In the battle for top talent, work from home options may become a key hiring strategy. If you start requiring people to come on site, they may choose another company that's more mobile because they are more comfortable working from home. Remote work becomes a retention and recruitment strategy as much as a business strategy. So, you heard it from Mr. Johnson. Remote work becomes a retention and recruitment strategy, right? And that is how a lot of the hiring from here on will most likely go, based on the fact that, as we said in the last question, or the one before, where the hybrid workforce will continue for the foreseeable future. All right. Now, next question is, how should IT operating models be altered given acceleration and uncertainty? All right. So, legacy and modern worlds will have to coexist as we have not seen it done before, according to Meta. We can't predict what the future might be as the fog lifts, but organizations can lay the foundation today to take small directional steps in the fog and get comfortable living in ambiguity, he adds. Meta prescribes a nimble business model going forward. As the business models change, the technology behind it needs to be component-based to prevent monolithic environments that are difficult to manipulate. This means that being ready for containerization, API frameworks, low-code applications, and CI slash CD based development, to name a few. Data will be the new oil or the new gold, whichever one you look at it. As businesses learn to monetize data, we have to be able to create platforms where data can be used to model business and human behaviors for concepts like artificial intelligence and machine learning. Right? So, you know, we spoke about some of those things from last year to this year. And we spoke about the whole idea that data is the new gold, especially where big data is involved. You know, when you have a situation where a jet plane, I do believe in one of our podcasts, we have spoken about a jet plane creating five megabytes of data, my bad, in half an hour in flight, right? Facebook did 5 terabytes of data a day. And so when you have all of that big data coming in, that's data that you can utilize to help persons. Basically, you can see what they're doing. Therefore, you can tailor make certain things for them, whether it be advertisements or, you know, stuff that they may want to buy, that sort of a thing. It's data that can work to your advantage as the business owner, and work for your advantage where you give out stuff or you actually tailor make stuff for your clients. So it's really about utilizing the data as you utilize, or as you made concepts like artificial intelligence and machine learning more of a reality. All right, so next question is, how can we ensure our customer experience meets rapidly evolving demands? Now, IT organizations, for the most part, did an impressive job of quickly adapting to changing customer demands and business strategies brought on by the pandemic. A survey published in October 2020 found out that companies are 3 times likelier than they were before the crisis to conduct at least 80% of their customer interactions digitally. Now, remember what I said to you, that from a Jamaican perspective, a lot of persons have actually gotten more debit cards and signed up for more internet banking than any other period in Jamaican history. So it's easier now for companies to conduct digital interactions with their customers. Now, many customers, both internal and external, expect IT to continue making improvements at the same rapid pace. Now, at Extra Space Storage, customer experience improvements were already underway pre-COVID, but IT accelerated their efforts, initially out of necessity, to provide contactless transactions as well. Now, customers have had a good response adopting what we have done so far, such as remote lease signing for its storage units. This gives us a lot of confidence to really press these initiatives, giving customers more options to interact, regardless of the channel, with technology solutions. We are addressing this by investing more and defining the key business metrics we want to drive with these technology solutions. With this alignment of goals, the teams can focus in and prioritize the capabilities we should be adding next. And this was what McCall said. Now, measure results, iterate, and move on to the next item. For the city of Los Angeles, however, the pandemic has pushed forward contactless government services for LA residents, businesses, and visitors, says Ted Ross, CIO of the city's Information Technology Agency. Going forward, our 2021 digital transformation efforts range from expanding our shared identity management for all city services to maximum usage of case management solutions, e-signature, and electronic workflow. Internal customers also expect improvements. Engineering and construction management firm TRC Companies plans to shift to a proactive approach to end-user support rather than being traditionally reactive. Our goal is to be a consultant in delivering whatever they need, which is a good customer experience approach. So you make sure that the customer is dealt with properly and your company will benefit. Now, what impact will automation have on the workplace? That's the next question. Right. Some of the journeys into automation began years before COVID-19, but the pandemic has created a catalyst to focus and accelerate these models. Now, automation isn't just an option for banking and telecom sectors, according to McKinsey. Now, major retailers, for instance, are increasing automation in stores for tasks such as checkout. Yeah, there is a store, I saw it the other day, where you add stuff in a say, you know, your cart. Now, multiple cameras show what you add in the cart. When you walk out, it's an Amazon store, by the way, Amazon design store. When you walk out, it, because you would have gotten into the store via the fact that you have an Amazon account, which is linked to your bank account. So when you walk out, it actually checks the stuff that you took up and just deducts it from your account. Everything is done automatically. So I can understand when you know, if Amazon is doing this, other persons may soon follow suit. Now, if sales clerks want to keep their jobs, they'll have to learn new skills. In 2018, the World Economic Forum estimated that more than half of employees would need significant reskilling or upskilling by 2022, which is true. I remember seeing, and this was from about 2015, 2016, and they're speaking about the whole idea of, say, a pharmacist, that may not be a good thing to study at the university anymore, because in the future, a robot can do the dispensation of medication at a pharmacy. So the situation is that with the new technology, which I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you are going to find that, you know, jobs, there are some job functions that are going to go, and there are new job functions that are going to be created. And people have to know what the new job functions are all about, vis-a-vis what the old job functions are all about. And that is going to make them be able to be relevant in the new order of things. And that's just one of the things that will have to happen by next year. Now, TRC Companies created an internal digital team last spring to evaluate its entire IT landscape to unearth automation opportunities. The team has identified a spreadsheet full of opportunities with return on investment on them, but also an efficiency tied to them, such as automated onboarding. Right? So automation is a way to go within the workplace. And I believe it is going to make a difference in the near future and the far future. All right, so the last question is, what will IT departments look like in the future? As the future of work becomes clearer, the boundaries between IT and business will become less so. And this is predicted by Meta. IT as we know it today will probably cease to exist. Silo-based IT that is set up as app development, infrastructure, security, etc., will be long gone. We will have to come together as pods to solve and create new business models. Business will be IT and IT will be the business. No more boundaries. Right? That sounds weird, but I, as somebody who watches a lot of sci-fi movies, I get his concept. A lot of things will be persons within the company. Everybody will come together as everybody will be IT based. It's not like companies know that you have accounts and you have some people in your company, and all of us, all of my listeners here, know people within your company that you work, that tell them don't know nothing about IT. And you as an IT person have to come solve them problem. I know and I can tell, it doesn't matter whether it's Jamaica is around the world, there are persons that say to you that they know nothing about IT, and because you're from the IT department, you need to come and solve their problems. Well, let me tell you, what this is saying is that 10 years time, and I'm just putting it at 10, a lot of those people have to find them yard. A lot of those persons will have to be reskilled or upskilled, or they'll be out of a job. Because what will happen is that everybody will be IT based within the company. They'll no longer be people who are, so your IT department itself will change in terms of what it normally does. Help desk may not be what it is now. Help desk may change because more persons will be more IT savvy. All right, so those were the 7 questions for the future of work. How do we build hybrid workforce going forward? Can security keep pace with growing threats? How should hiring strategies and skills mixes change? Number 4, how should IT operating models be altered given acceleration and uncertainty? Number 5, how can we ensure our customer experience meets rapidly evolving demands? Number 6, what impact will automation have on the workplace? And number 7, what will IT departments look like in the future? Now, this is Ian Seymour signing out for another wonderful week of IT of Jamaican Weekly Perspective. I trust that information imparted will benefit someone out there, and everybody listening would have learned something. Yeah. So as you can hear my voice going, I can tell you it's because of the COVID-19. My voice still hasn't come back. And talking for a long periods of time is not the easiest thing. But my commitment is to you guys who, I did make a commitment at the start of 2021 that I would put out one podcast a week, and I'm still holding true to that commitment, COVID-19 or no COVID-19. All right, so have a wonderful week, and always remember that technology is there for all of us, and we just have to make sure that we use it for the right benefits and in the right way. All right, have a wonderful night. Good night.